chapter 12, verse 11. Who will read chapter 12, verse 9 through 21? We'll just recap the whole thing. George, go ahead, please. That you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay, so he talks about, in light of what God has done for you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And now we're going to lay out some things. And here's the mindset that you need to have. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. It's hard to look at everything that's going to be told to us. If we don't have that mindset, it won't work. So, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'll do verse 1. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And again, that is not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. So this is kind of how we're supposed to go about this. Not lagging in diligence. Diligence, the meaning is careful and persistent work or effort. Careful and persistent work or effort. So we're supposed to go about this carefully, and we're supposed to be persistent about it. We're not supposed to let up. And fervent. Fervent is having or displaying a passionate intensity. So we're supposed to go about it with a careful, persistent, and passionate intensity. How does that sound to you? Does that sound like it will work? It does to me. And this is your service to God. Your reasonable service, as we just talked about. In verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, steadfastly in prayer, rejoicing in hope, patient tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. The first one is hope. I think hope needs to be first because it's the driver that will keep us fervent and not lagging. If you can imagine having striving to do something, as it talks about here, being diligent, careful, and persistent with effort, with passion and intensity, can you imagine doing that without hope? So I think hope is the driver here. And hope, let's talk about hope. What is hope? What is hope? Somebody help me. Hope is wishing the way things would go the way you want them to. Okay? Anything else? Anybody else?
I think the hope is more of a confident expectation. We have a hope of heaven. We're not just wishing that heaven is there.
Right.
We have a confident expectation of a future being realized.
Yes, that's good. A confident expectation. So, hope must have, and a confident expectation rests on trust and faith. Yes. Oh yes, go ahead. All right. Okay. So we have hope, but it's not based on, which is the expectation, a confident expectation, thanks Willie. And it has to be founded in something. It has to be. It's founded. That's right. It's founded in God. And so God is the source, and then we have to have a relationship with God in order for that to work. And we have to have a trust. Our relationship with God has to include trust and faith. Because we have an expectation. And an expectation without trust or faith is probably not realistic. Buckley, you took a deep breath. I heard you.
My mind's going, I'm thinking about a lot of people I've run into that have hope that they feel is based on scriptural things and a relationship with God, and yet it's not fact.
They're not basing their faith in God on fact.
Their hope.
Their hope, okay.
And they believe that it's going to happen because they believe it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right.
No.
Anyway, that's where my mind is going.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
What? Hebrews 11:1.
Okay.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
So hope embodies evidence as well as just looking for something. There is evidence.
Right.
Has already been said.
Okay.
We're going to get what we're looking for.
We have to base what we're looking for on something. And I just thought of something. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that, if we have proved that, there's no reason why we can't have this very confident expectation, because it would be God's will. Yeah. Right. Right. It does all go back to God. It's really, our hope is not much about us, is it? Right.
Else, it's not worth it. It's how
Scripture was saying that if there is no resurrection, then, and we have no hope, then we are the most to be pitied, because we're living our life looking forward to that.
My walk with God has been worth it, even if there is nothing else. Because
right.
He is my joy, He is my strength, He is my everything. So if this is all there is to me, it's been worth it.
Because you are living, and we all are. And some of us are more aware of it than others. We're in the kingdom right now.
Amen.
We're living in the kingdom right now. We do have a hope of a different residence, but we are kingdom dwellers right now. Herman.
I wasn't disallowing the future and
I understand.
And all. I'm just saying, to me, this is worth it.
Right. Because we are in the kingdom.
Yeah.
I was just going to point out that Paul is changing the context there. What he's talking about is indeed true. If all we had in this life is the life we have with God, it would still be working. But he's talking to those people who are determined that there's nothing. When you die just like they used to say, just like a dog, but you have to be careful anymore. Most dogs go to heaven, I understand.
Yes, that's true. Thank you.
It is a context.
Right. Okay. Yes, Willie.
I was under the impression that Paul was speaking to the people who said there is no resurrection.
This
means that Christ right. would not be resurrected.
If
Christ is not resurrected, we don't
have a hope.
That access to the Father.
He was
we don't have that relationship
right.
with God now.
He was talking to the Sadducees. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. They were saying there's no resurrection, and Paul responds in that verse to that. So, here you have this hope. You're living in this world, but you have this hope. I like to do self-talk when I need it. And I don't carry on like Donna does, but anyway. She talks to herself all the time. But I know. Self-talk. What can we tell ourselves when the world is pushing in on us? But we know. We just described hope and where it comes from. What can we say to reinforce that in us so the world doesn't kill our joy? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And we can build ourselves up. We can build ourselves up in that faith and the knowledge of that expectation.
I'm thinking about it at the time, it's hope. It's hope that I just want to get through it.
Right.
And so it's really hard.
So do you think if you were mindful of the hope, it would help you get through it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, most people are focusing on what's in front of them right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Patient in tribulation. Hope is important because it allows you to be patient in tribulation. And that's important. We need to be patient in tribulation. Tribulation will not get you as far if you don't hope. Tribulation will not get you so far down if you have hope to offset it. The third thing was continuing in prayer, which holds it all together, which is communication with God. So we have a rejoicing in hope based on God, patient in tribulation, and continuing prayer, relying on God. Joe. Oh, wow. Mess it up if you're not patient in the tribulation. You can mess it up. Right. I said, Zach, I'm proud of you. And about how hard he had to work at it and that kind of thing. I said, I'm sure you got a lot of confidence from that. And he goes, I feel like I can do anything. And so God has done some things for him in this time. And he needed to be patient in his tribulation. And we all do. Because God can work in that.
I use Romans 8:28 in all this, and I can say, better rip, because I know the end result is going to be a blessing for me.
All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and live according to His will.
Right, so yeah. Where is the tribulation? Where is the distress and despair if you know you have hope?
Yeah.
For what good is going to be coming your way?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
to our God or anything.
What God
is. Right.
And so, it is very much a very difficult situation to have to deal with or counsel with people about. It's complicated.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to pray. Tom. Go ahead. We're 5 minutes late, but go ahead. Yeah. Oh, we're on time. Oh, go ahead, Tom. We're on time.
And probably don't say a lot. Most people don't. My mom used to get our daily bread. Some people like it, some people don't. It actually has some really good, the Thursday has some really good information, I thought. What we're talking about. Over in 1 Thessalonians 1 through 3, talk about 1 and 2, talk about we always thank God for all of you. And as Christians, we can help say that kind word, do some other stuff. And at the end, it says whether it's caring for a relative, helping a neighbor, or volunteering your time, be encouraged that you do the work of God has called you to do. Your labor can be powerful testimony of faith, hope, and love.
That's right.
We need to remember that sometimes we can be that caring person to be able to maybe help that person get over those trials and tribulations.
Yes, we can. All right, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you.